How many of you have heard this passage preached on before? Having heard this message preached on before, how many of you get nervous when this is going to be preached on again? You nervous about what I'm going to say here? You know, my goal this morning is to make all of us very uncomfortable. And so I'm just going to say that up front, okay? Because Jesus' words that we just read serve as both a warning and a challenge, not only to the people that heard them 2,000 years ago, but perhaps even more so for us. Because this passage is about our stuff. And you know, living where we do, living at the time in history that we live, you and I have more stuff than anybody in all of history. We have more stuff than 99% of the world's population today. And just in the last month or so, I've been struck by just the thought, not even thinking about preaching this passage, but just the thought about how much stuff we have. You know what I notice as I'm driving around? I notice storage units. I notice storage units. That we would actually, you know, pay money to rent a place to store more stuff than we can fit in our homes. Last week, Jenny and I had our girls clean their rooms. And whenever we have our girls clean their rooms, we always say, you know what? If you're going to clean your room, go through your stuff, and if there's stuff that you don't play with anymore, let's bring that to good as new, okay? And so we let them loose, and they do their thing. And then we go upstairs and we find like maybe three things that you know that they're ready to get rid of. And then we look at, you know, 75 other things that haven't been touched in 2 years. But there's something about stuff that makes us comfortable and makes us secure and makes us feel good, because someday I'm going to be able to use that. And then my parents. Sorry to put you on the spot. They're going to be moving in the next week or two. And so we're busy going through stuff. And I'm pretty, you know, when it comes to other people's stuff, I'm pretty ruthless, okay? Do we have to hold on to this stuff? Do we have to move it again? Because I'm ruthless with other people's stuff. So I have my own things too. When I was in high school, maybe it was junior high, I begged my parents. I was a huge fan of Mike Tyson before he totally went off the rails. And I was a huge fan of him. And I wanted more than anything one of those big heavy bags. You know, to hang up in the basement and just you know, unload my steam. And you know, I kind of have this vision of what life would be, and that was kind of going to be part of my identity that I worked out with the heavy bag. And my parents, being the generous people that they are, got me that heavy bag for one of my birthdays. And man, I held on to that until I was about 35. And I used it probably 20 times, which would average about once a year. When Jenny and I finally moved out of our house, we had a garage sale, and I was like, okay, I got to face the fact, I'm never going to be Mike Tyson, and I don't like working out with this all that much anyway because it hurts my hands, so we got to put this in the garage sale. And then somebody some well-intentioned young man like I used to be, came and said, you know what, I would love to get this punching bag, but you got it for sale for 20 bucks, and I'll tell you what, I'll give you 10. Oh! And I couldn't let go of it. I couldn't let go of it. Because it gets in somehow. Our possessions, our material things, it starts to have ownership over us. So even things that we don't use and we don't have any intention of ever using again, we're connected to them some way. And so this passage that we read this morning, it ends with, you can't serve both God and, in the NIV translation it says money, but actually it's God and mammon. And mammon is an idea that's a little bit bigger than money. It comes from the Greek word mamosas, not the kind that you drink, but the Greek word mamosas, and that means possessions or property. And now money is a good translation because of our possessions, of the things that we own, have control over, you know, money is the big one because money kind of enables and empowers all of our other spending and all of our other accumulation of material things. The theme of our passage this morning as Jesus confronts us is that the way that we use our money and our resources and even our time and our energy reveals what's really going on in our hearts. It picks up this thread that we've been coming back to over and over again throughout chapters 5 and now into chapter 6. And today we're talking about what's our relationship to our stuff. Verse 19 and 20, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, because of the way that's written, we don't have to put too much thought into it. We can just take it as kind of a general reminder that, you know what, we need to focus on the important things, and there's a lot about life that's not all that important, but as long as we, you know, focus on the important things and kind of live comfortable and easy in most other ways, you know, we're going to be just fine. But that's taking the easy way out when it comes to this passage. You know, Jesus, he's not making suggestions here and he's not giving advice. He is pointing to a problem that if we don't think about it and if we don't deal with it and if we don't make difficult, intentional decisions about, this becomes an eternal issue. It's an eternal issue, and what makes it that much more scary is that what Jesus says here, as he has said along the way, what Jesus says here is in conflict to the messages that we are constantly bombarded with from our culture every day. The messages that say, earn all you can, spend all you can, save all you can so that when you're finished earning, you can still go on spending the way that you're doing today. The behaviors or the pressures to behave this way are just immense. Immense. And so much of this comes through from the outside completely unfiltered. I mean, we have that kind of attention span where it's there, 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 there. We're just bombarded and we don't even have a chance. Our lives are so busy most of the time to really think things through, think through the implications. I mean, look at how technology has functioned in our lives in the last, let's just say, 30 years. As home computers became a normal thing, as home media equipment has become just bigger and bigger and better and less expensive so that everybody can afford it? And what about our phones and our different devices? I mean, there is such good things that come with technology, and technology enables so much, but it comes so fast. It comes so fast that we don't even have the time to process the implications and what it's doing to us emotionally and physically and spiritually. We're almost forced to be just blind consumers. We get the latest, greatest thing and just hope it's going to provide what we think it's going to provide and not have too many side effects, not have too many downsides that we didn't have time to consider. It's all through advertising. It's all about selling the comfortable life or the successful life or the healthy life or the secure life or the adventurous life. The message of the world is an emphatic: store up for yourselves earthly treasures, because earthly treasures give you a sense of security. Earthly treasures help you to release in your bodies the chemicals that make you feel good and successful and safe. And so Jesus' words here really do confront us where it hurts and when it really means something. And Jesus mentions in those first two verses actually three forces in this world that work against our accumulation of earthly possessions, of material things. The first that's mentioned is moth, and moths represent the forces of nature on our possessions. Second thing is rust. Rust represents the effects of time on our possessions. Things wear out, things break. And then thieves. Thieves represent the forces of fallen humanity. So you have all of these powerful things working against the desire in our lives to accumulate earthly treasures. Earthly treasures that ultimately and inevitably decay, rot, come to nothing. And these are the things that we're so attached to. These are the things that we're so attached to. And as I mentioned before, just mentioning this, Jesus implicitly points to two eternal destinies. Now, we all know what those destinies are. One destiny is in the presence of God for all eternity, and the other is apart from God. We more commonly refer to them as heaven and hell. And our relationship with the material things that we are stewards of in this life can steer you in one or the other of those directions. So verses 19 and 20 reveal the hindsight that we expect to have in eternity as we focus on eternal and heavenly things rather than earthly, temporal things. It's the perspective that we're going to have when we finally, at the end of our lives, leave all that we have accumulated in this world behind. When we come to realize by actual experience that only that which possesses eternal value ultimately has any value at all. And so what is that? What are things that have eternal value? Because all of the things that we have that are earthly things or temporal things should serve somehow those greater heavenly things. It's not a sin to have earthly possessions. It's not a sin to have money. It's not a sin to have possessions or property. But what do those serve? They need to be serving eternal things, and so it would be helpful for us to know what constitutes eternal things. Now, there was one commentator that I came across a couple weeks ago that found it helpful to think about eternal heavenly things in two categories. And the first category that he creates or mentions is acts of service to others. 1 Timothy 6 says, "Command them to do good and be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." Okay? Lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Acts of service. Acts of kindness, being generous and willing to share the blessings that you have received with others. See, I suspect, because I'm this way too, oftentimes, I think of myself as the destination for God's blessing. When I'm praying in my closet the proper way, some of the things that I bring before the throne of God are things that I haven't thought through completely. Just things that are on my heart, whether they are on my heart from God or whether they are on my heart from other influences. Sometimes I consider myself the destination for God's blessings. Just do this for me because it will make things easier. What we really need to do is see that in a different framework. We are not destinations for God's blessings. We are conduits for God's blessings. God, bless me with this so that I can do this for others and for your glory. And so acts of service would include acts of kindness, a listening ear, a helpful hand, a giving heart. All of these things being examples of laying up treasures for the coming age. It has to do with our relationships. Our relationships with others, putting others first, bearing with each other's shortcomings, as we've been talking about in Romans in the evening. Investing in relationships is an investment that is eternal. Christian fellowship is important. Evangelism is important. And that brings us to the second category, which is also relationship-based. The second category of laying up eternal treasures is gospel work. And this encompasses everything that we do to make sure that people are led to a saving knowledge of the gospel. It has to do with sharing our faith. It has to do with being hospitable to those who visit our church, or to those who we meet in the workplace or at the school or in the community that don't yet believe in Jesus. It involves both speaking and living out the gospel. So we have acts of service, and we have acts of gospel work. Treasures that will, in some way, pass from this life to the next to be enjoyed forever. Now, our passage this morning contains stewardship principles from the wisest person ever to walk the earth. And if you look closely, in one sense, Jesus is saying something that I think everyone would agree with. He's saying, you know what? Invest in things that last. Invest in things that have real long-term value. I think where there's disagreement is in what those things are. Now, I don't know about you, but my eternal investment portfolio could always use a little bit of work. My choices in how I spend money and how I expend energy and how I use time are not always wise. I would guess that most of you could say the same. And in one way, it's really comforting. In another way, it's kind of frightening that God gives us the freedom. God gives even his people the freedom to choose to make wise choices or unwise choices. But we need to take it seriously, these choices, because as he says in verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your investments reveal the true place of your heart. Jesus reiterates that point in verses 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, that seems like maybe changing topic a little bit. It's not really. Substitute the word goals for eyes, and substitute the word life for body, and let me read it again. The goals are the lamp or the guide for the life. If your goals are good, your whole life will be full of light. But if your goals are bad, your whole life will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? See, what we set our eyes upon are those things which we aspire to. That is where we direct our ambition. And we're not talking about just the body and body physical material things. We are talking about our lives. We're talking about our lives in the totality. The eyes are directed by the heart, and so the eyes too, just as our heart does, reveals our true desires. And so are your eyes attracted to those things that have short-term value or those that have long-term value? Now, it's perhaps an opportune time to point out, I'm not criticizing high salaries, not criticizing large homes or nice cars, not criticizing possessions. There's nothing evil in that. See, it's not about the things that you have or you don't have. It's about what your attitude is toward those things. Are those things serving a higher purpose than just self-fulfillment? Self-fulfillment being just your own enjoyment, or self-fulfillment being the respect of your peers, just having something so that others will envy it. Does it serve a greater purpose? You know, it's funny. I've known people that are very, very wealthy, and they give like crazy. I mean, they are just excited about every gospel endeavor that comes across their desk. I've known people that have very little money. They have that same kind of excitement. And they give what they can in terms of money and in terms of resources, and they make up for it in ways that they can serve, ways that they can kind of use their body as collateral, investing in that work. I've also known very wealthy people that don't want to give a dime to anybody. I've known people that don't have money that if they did, they wouldn't give to anything either. This isn't about rich and poor. This is about the attitudes that all of us have toward the blessings that God gives. We are not to be destinations. We are to be conduits. We're all too connected to our stuff. And I want to just suggest two things as we finish up. In the spirit of not being able to serve God and mammon, and because this is such a subjective topic, this isn't going to look the same in one person's life as it does in another's. I just want to suggest two things. And the first thing is an introspective thing. I want to encourage you to take a look at the things that you've accumulated, the things that you have, the money that you have stored away that gives you this sense of security, and understand that the good feelings that your possessions and your money give you are a false security, a a false security, if you're getting your ultimate security from those things, thinking, you know what, I'm at a position where nothing in life can touch me. I'm fine financially. I'm fine in terms of what I have. Whatever happens, I'm going to be just fine. That's not a good place to be in spiritually. Because so often we forget our need of God. And we forget that anything earthly, anything material could be taken away from us overnight. So look at your possessions. Look at the things that you have and ask yourself that question. Does this serve the greater purpose of eternal things to invest in and ultimately to the glory of God? Secondly, and I know that this is hard when it comes to these things, but it has been such a blessing in my life to have mentors that were willing to spend time with me and mentors that were willing to tell me like it is, to tell me where I was going astray, tell me where I was going wrong, and at the same time encourage me and say, you know what, in Christ, I believe that you are better than this and I want you to live like it. Let somebody into your life, someone who's wise, someone who is a mature Christian, and say, look, this is what I have. This is what I'm concerned about saving. This is what I have in terms of giving. Take a look at it and tell me what you think. This is the Christian community being the Christian community. It doesn't have to be the whole community speaking into your life, but having one or two people to hold you accountable is going to go a long way, and it's going to create one of those relationships that does last into eternity. Having the humility to submit to wisdom of someone you trust. Why is this so important? I said it before, because there are two trajectories. There are two eternal destinies. There is heaven and there is hell. But there's another reason too. It's because our Savior, Jesus Christ, gave everything up so that we could even have a shot at an eternity. So that we could even be talking about what has just earthly value and what has heavenly value. We wouldn't even be having this discussion if Jesus hadn't come and died on the cross, giving up all of the treasures, all of the esteem, all of the wonderful things about being in heaven and making himself human, not just a regular human, but a lowly human, coming to suffer and to die so that we could be having this conversation. So brothers and sisters, for God's glory and for our Savior Jesus Christ, let's today and every day take his message here seriously.